So I'm stuck in traffic, and I just figured I'd let some thoughts spill out while I'm stuck here. I'm supposed to be on the air right now, but instead it is snowing, and 77 and 480 merger is locked up like a drum. So, you know, I had an experience last Sunday where there was some complaints about, you know, something that was that my office had carried out, and while this person was complaining, they were complaining openly to some other people, and you know, as is the case most times, you know, our complaints are not necessarily about what's happening, but rather, you know, how we feel frustrated within ourselves for how it's happening. And I just want to say something, you know, to, if you're listening to this, and I want you to be aware of something. And here's one of the things, you know, it's a couple, just two things here. I just want you to be aware of whenever you're preparing for something and carrying out your purpose, your identity, you know, you're walking in that, is that you have to understand the relevancy of your influence. So first of all, you have to be relevant in what you're doing. And you have to be aware enough to know that you're relevant or you're not. And if you're not relevant, you have to, you know, you have to kind of put together a way of testing whether or not you're relevant. You can't assume that everything you do is relevant. I mean, that's you know, the marketplace doesn't respond like that, react like that, and neither, you know, it just that's just the way it is. So whether it's a marketplace or whether it's, you know, ministry, or whether it's in your, you know, in how you raise your children, or, you know, none of it's relevancy. You have to monitor your relevancy. Are you relevant? Is what you're doing actually, you know, appealing to people? Do people pick up what you put down? And if they don't, right, like, so if you continue to do stuff the same way you've always done stuff, so perhaps something was relevant yesterday, that does not necessarily mean that it's going to be relevant tomorrow. It's astonishing to me how many people keep doing the same crap and then wonder why what they do doesn't get what they want. And that their passion levels are still high for what they do. It's just that their relevancy of what they do has taken off, has fallen. So you have to always monitor relevancy. I mean, how do you monitor relevancy? You monitor relevancy based upon reaction. Do people respond to what you're doing? Now, there's a dangerous line here, because you have to be aware, and you have to be aware, I guess, is the thing. You just have to be aware of whether or not you're trendsetting or whether or not you're just stuck. Trendsetting and stuck, those are two different things. Like, if you're trendsetting, it may take people a minute to pick up what you put down. But they recognize it. Like, they, when they hear it, they're like, they kind of tilt their head to the side and they go, that's not something, that's different, you know? And so it's possible that, you know, your relevancy isn't catching on as fast as you would like. But in many cases, you're just irrelevant. You're just irrelevant. And I see this with a lot of people who refuse to transition. So they just refuse to, like, do things according to, you know, what people want, whether you're selling something or whether you're, you know, just whatever. You know, a marketplace will always determine relevancy. So does the marketplace create acceptance for what you got? So check yourself before you complain about, like, other people and how, you know, before you blame people for your lack of influence, check your relevancy. Check it. Like, is what I'm doing relevant? Am I breaking new ground and new territory? Is it rough, or am I irrelevant? Check yourself, because in many cases you're just stuck and you're doing stuff out of comfort and convenience rather than relevance and innovation. You gotta always be checking that, especially, you know. So, you know, I'm a pastor. I preach. I inspire, and so I'm constantly checking to see, am I innovative in what I'm doing, or has this become irrelevant? Is this not relevant anymore to culture? Is this not speaking to people and where they are? That's, you know, especially in the business I'm in, you've got to pay attention to that. I mean, families and culture has evolved, and you know what was relevant 5 years ago is no longer relevant today. The gospel is always relevant. So for all you people who are listening to this and you just got hurt by that, like, listen, the gospel is always relevant. But it has to be presented in relevant ways. It can't be presented in the same corny packaging. It just, you have got to evolve. And that's from the Spirit. You know, that's from the Spirit. The Spirit is always innovative. The Spirit will always evolve. The Spirit will always be relevant. The Spirit will always be relevant. You know, the Spirit's not going to do the same thing. It's never going to operate in traditionalism. It's never going to do what it did yesterday out of comfort and convenience. The Spirit will make you climb over mountains to present it in a relevant way. So never use that as an excuse. Like, the gospel is, you know, is always, yes, it is always relevant. However, it must be, you know, it can't be communicated the same way. It has to be. It has to come from the Spirit, and the Spirit's not lazy, so the Spirit's not going to operate like that. And then secondly, so relevancy is one. Check your relevancy. Are you relevant? Or are you just frustrated because you're not relevant, and then you're blaming everybody else? That happens a lot. So stop blaming everybody else and start checking yourself to see if you're relevant or not. And secondly is, you know, besides relevancy, you need to know whether or not you have influence. And this is something that is intriguing to me lately, is tapping into other people's influence and utilizing their influence for their demographic for my benefit. But it's recognizing, though, where you have influence and where you don't, and how you can partner with those who do. But most people are, are just irresponsible with their influence, and I'll say it like this: like, I know people on Instagram who have way more followers than me. I mean, they literally, you know, I know people who have, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 times more followers than me, but they have zero awareness of how their influence impacts culture. They're doing it recklessly, almost. And if you're out there and you're reckless with your influence and irresponsible with your influence, let me rebuke you. Like, seriously, like, that's the worst, man. God's given you this incredible charisma, whether it's charisma or just crazy wisdom, but He's given you this influence, and you've become irresponsible with it, and you've refused to take authority for the influence that you have. You know, and I began to do the math the other day on my influence. And so I thought about, you know, how many followers I have, the distance, you know, the literal geographic influence in the area, and how many people that are impacted by the influence that I have, and, you know, how many people are connected to that influence. So it multiplies fast. So it multiplies really fast if you start thinking about it. And then I began to think about, man, if I could partner with other people who aren't aware of their influence, then I could take advantage of theirs. I could actually invade your space and take advantage and assume responsibility for the influence you neglect. Like, think about that. Think about, you know, the influence you're neglecting. And there are people who are taking advantage of the influence you neglect, whether that's your employer, you know, whether that those are your friends, whether that's, you know, a branding company or something, you know, but there are people out there who recognize your influence and take advantage of it, you know, and in many cases it's your employer who does this, because they recognize that you're not the number one, and you may not be the number two, but maybe you're a number three, and you have such influence that you're able to produce from this place of influence, but you're not aware, or you're not confident enough in your influence to, you know, assume responsibility for it and just do it yourself. And so you're working for somebody else, and they're taking advantage of you. So, you know, wake up, understand your influence. If you don't understand your influence, you're probably neglecting it. And everyone has influence. You need to know that. God's given everyone influence. Like, I don't care how, you know, insecure you are, or how, you know, much you, how little you think of yourself. You need to understand that you have this influence, and there are people around you that you influence. And you just, and God says, you know, to the one he gave this many, to the other he gave what, 3, 4, 5, and then he gave one person one. He just gave him one. But even if God just gave you one, he requires you to be responsible for the thing that he gave you. And he comes back and he says, what'd you do with the one? And you know, the guy was like, I buried it. And he said, wait a minute, you could have at least done the minimum. But you didn't do anything. You just let what I gave you rot in the ground. Like, you let it rot in the ground. And then he calls him wicked and lazy for doing that. And so, be aware of your influence. Be aware of your relevancy, your influence. Understand that you have some, and understand that it's probably way deeper than you think. It probably goes beyond what you could ever imagine. You know, the level and the depth of your influence, and you know, it's intriguing. I mean, I think about influence and people who have it, and I just want to shake them and go, man, do you realize how much influence you have? And maybe it's because we only see, you know, we only see people as one or two or three or four. So like I'm thinking right now, my worship team, you know, on any given Sunday, and how in many cases, and not just my worship team, but many worship teams, how they don't really assume the responsibility of the platform and understand the measure of their influence. And they take it for granted many times. But to understand that a room full of, you know, 60, 50, 40, or 12, you know, 12 people, you know, 12 people, 30 people, 40 people, but you do the math on, you know, the one person sitting there, and you understand that that one person is connected to at least three. That's minimum three. So for every one person you see on a Sunday morning while you assume the responsibility of leading worship, like, think about that. Then there are three attached to that one at minimum, just in their core of influence, in their home. So in their home. So every person represents three. And if that's true, I mean, you think about really the measure of influence that you have on a Sunday, or, you know, or at work, or at, you know, what, you know, whatever it is you're doing. Don't think of people as one. Think of them at minimum of three. But then you recognize that there are other people who are sitting there, who are sitting there. And there have been times when I've, you know, been on the platform and I've looked out and I've understood the magnitude of the amount of influence that I have on, based upon how many, you know, who's sitting there, not how many, but who's sitting there. And so never neglect your influence because you see them as one individual or 12, or you're like, I don't want to do this for 12 people. You're not doing it for 12 people. You're doing it for 36 people, you know, 12 times three, for at minimum of 36. And then there are going to be people who are sitting there who are so influential. If you kill it in that moment, if you grab it and you, like, and you hit the sweet spot and you don't neglect your influence and you take authority in that moment and you just go for it, think about what's going to leave the room. People are going to leave the room and they're going to talk about that experience and they're going to say, man, this person is incredible. They're going to leave talking about your influence on them. And there have been times in my life where I missed it, and there have been times in my life where I absolutely knew when I walked out of there. I recently, you know, had a real pressure-filled moment where I knew I had to, you know, take advantage of the opportunity with my influence, and I did, and I hit it, and I crushed it, and you know, I hit the sweet spot, and it was like a grand slam, and I walked out of there. And, you know, I was alone when I walked out, but I walked out smiling and grinning and knowing that, and I knew who was in the audience. You know what I mean? I knew who was sitting there. I was in my sweet spot. And I knew when I walked out of there, like I had authority over my influence. I was taking advantage of my influence, and my influence now is going to reach farther. And there were, you know what, and there were only, you know, there was probably only 30 people in the audience, but the 30 that were in the audience were such influencers that I knew in that moment that was well beyond 30. That went to millions. I knew that in that. So you have to assume responsibility for your influence. Understand your influence. Take responsibility for it. Stop neglecting it. Stop minimizing it. Stop looking at people, you know, as just one. Look at them as influencers themselves, and then invade their territory as much as you can. For those of you, you know, who are out there who understand this, like lights are going off, then you need to start invading places of influence of people who are neglecting it. You know, and in the Bible, there's a story, you know, there's the story of like, the mantles, you know, when Elijah was taken up and Elijah threw down his mantle. You know, there are so many people out there who are, you know, taken up to higher places, and where they ascend, they leave their influence down. They leave their influence. They let go of their influence to somebody else. And I would say this sadly, that many people who ascend to higher places of influence leave vacancies in lower places of influence, and the mantles are just laying there. These lower levels of influence have been just left vacant. And a lot of people walk by mantles every day, and they're neglected. Walk by the coats of great people. And, you know, because here's the truth. I mean, the truth is that Oprah Winfrey left a mantle somewhere before she ascended to where she was. Like, she left a vacancy somewhere. I mean, you think of all of these great influencers of our culture in the kingdom. You think of all these tremendous influencers, and you think about what vacancies have they left? Where did they leave something empty? And try to find those places, man. Try to find spots and places where things are just not running, and you know that at one point that used to be occupied by a great influencer, but now it's just vacant. It's just left empty. Chances are there's an opportunity there. Take them, you know, grab hold of them and take them. This is, you're listening to Troy Thompson Podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm just driving, throwing some thoughts out there, man. This guy in front of me is wearing his car out trying to stay on the road. Oh, me too. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm good though. See you guys later.